This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Amen. Thanks, Adam. It's beautiful playing there and really refreshing too. Just want to look at one verse of Scripture, and it's in Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. Did you know there were 80 verses in Luke chapter 1? Well, there are. So we're just going to look at the last verse, and all it is talking about John the Baptist. He was born, had lots of words spoken over him as a little child, and but we'll get to verse 80 of Luke chapter 1. So, the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. The child grew, became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Now, it might be a funny scripture to preach on, but I want to talk about, this is John the Baptist. You know, his whole ministry was for a short period of time. It challenged the whole nation and actually prepared the way of the Lord. And if you think, the prayer that Ben prayed there about repentance, being granted repentance, his was a message of repentance, turning back to God. And I remember I shared a few weeks ago where about the fire of God that's needed. Well, it was on John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness, in the desert, and caused all Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, they all came out to him, to the desert. I mean, he didn't have neon signs. His message was quite confronting. But he drew a whole nation to him, and God granted repentance. And I just want to take out of this the issue that he grew and he became strong in spirit. You know, you know a lot of people that are physically strong. You may know a lot of people that are mentally strong, even people that are emotionally strong. And all of those strengths dependent on the person's own abilities. You know, a strong person, we can get parallels from it. But what I'm talking about here is to be spiritually strong. The Bible has a lot to say about it. You all know the scripture in Joshua 1 where God called Joshua to lead his people to go into the promised land, and he had to literally wrest it from the enemy. They had to deal with the enemy to get this land out of their hands. And God's command to him was to be strong and very courageous so that he did all that God was wanting him to do. Be strong, Joshua, and fight. And then he told him, okay, I'll tell you where the strength is going to lie. You're going to meditate in this word day and night. Then you'll make your way successful. Then I will give you success. And every place that you put the sole of your feet, I'm going to give to you. And many other scriptures where God challenges his people to be strong and for a particular reason or call. In fact, David, when he called his son Solomon to him and handed over the kingship to him, he said, "You are the one that's got to build the temple." And he said, "Be strong and very courageous to make sure you do all. Here are all the plans." And he said, I've as much as within me, I have planned and prepared and stored up. I've gathered as much material as I possibly can for you to do that work. But he said to Solomon, only be very strong to do all that the Lord. So he had to be strong to actually build. You know, I was planning this message. We went down to Phillip Island yesterday, drove down because our granddaughter was one, just turned one. Annalisa had a party down at Phillip Island, and all family was there. And sitting round eating, and Bev said something very cutting to my poor son. Said, "Ben, you're putting on weight. You got a bit of a pouch there, a paunch." I'm lying. Well, you did indicate that he was getting quite rounded. Got a bit of a belly there. And so Ben said, "Yes, I'm putting on weight." And he said, "Well, he's gonna go to the gym. Gonna start working it off." Anyway, had this vision. He says, "I'm gonna go and do the anybody ever heard of the Tough Mudder event?" Well, it's basically an army camp training course, obstacle course that these crazy people spend good money to go and compete in, just for the thrill of getting through it. They had a big one down at Phillip Island the other year, and he did that. Anyway, his vision is to do the world one. So we'll see. So he's got a lot of preparation to do for that. Obviously, getting fit for it and saving money for it as well. I don't know where it's going to be in the world, but that's his plan. But it just made me think about, okay, God says, be strong. Be strong. How many times how many of us have got a word from God, you're going to do this, you're going to do that? Great. And you try to do it and you fall flat on your face. Why is that? You said, well, God obviously doesn't know what he's talking about. I can't do that. You gave it your best shot and you couldn't do it. Well, the issue is you haven't prepared. You haven't trained for it. You tried, but you never trained. And a lot of us do that. We try really hard, but we don't train for what God has called us to do. Think about John the Baptist. His whole life was training for a few short years of preaching repentance. Fire of God was on that man. Did it just happen? No. His whole life, he grew up in the deserts. I think, well, how come? Why did he need to do that? Maybe it's because he needed to be absolutely free from all the distractions that could come on his life. All the things, well, you've got to do this, John the Baptist, you've got to have a good life, you've got to get things in order, you've got to do this and that. Now, he was called for one reason. He was to be a voice in the wilderness. He knew that call. And his ministry was to bring a whole nation to repentance. So, you know, what, is he just twiddling his thumbs in the wilderness? No, he was preaching the word of God. He was preaching. And so he was meditating in this word day and night. And so that when the time come for the word, for him to be manifested, when his appointed time came, he was ready for it. He was trained for it. How many of us know that we've got appointed times? For such a time as this, you have been brought to the kingdom. Do you realize that? I've been brought to the kingdom for this very time. God knows what he's doing. He hasn't made any mistakes. But there's one thing that he has to do, and that's get us ready so that we're ready for our manifestation. You know, in Romans 8, it says the whole world is groaning. It's in travail. It's waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. That's what it's waiting for. And what does that mean? Well, it means different things for all of us, but it means something for the church, because he said his glory is going to rest on his church. There's over every gathering of his people, the scripture said that there will be a glory that rests over them. Well, where does that glory come from? We're trying hard, or, you know, we're training for it. We're becoming strong in the Lord. You know, we're in the time, well, the scriptures I want to look at is Ephesians chapter 6. What does Paul say? My brethren, what does he finally, at chapter 6, he's got to the crunch of it. He's been telling them, sharing the word of God, how it affects them, their relationship with God, their relationship with one another, their relationships in the church, their relationships with authorities, their relationships husband to wife, their relationships parents to children, children to parents, talking about all these different relationships, applying the word of God to it and how they should be behaving, how they should be training and living their lives. Husbands, love your wife. Yes, sir. Not a problem. How could that be hard? She's just beautiful. Beverly, will thou be mine? She's beautiful. I mean, how could that be a problem, marrying Beverly? Well, it does get to be a problem. It's just because man is... Yeah, I'm getting into deep water here. The scripture will back me up. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. You cannot get into a relationship without getting into trouble. But are you training? Husbands, are you laying... Well, here's the criteria. Husbands, you've got to lay down your life for your wife. Are you doing that? Yeah. Well, that's your training. Every day you get to train on that. Praise God, every day. Every morning you get up, you get to who are you thinking about first? Oh, I'm thinking about me, my comfort, my security. And God says, okay, well, that's where you're going to fall down. You've got to get arrange your thinking. That's why it's good just to have these times of sitting before God and getting refreshed, allowing him to speak to us, you know, opening this word that's alive and powerful. Meditate in it. You know, the amount of times when I've gone to bed and I'm angry at Bev and just, you know, I want to punish her. And I want to give her the cold shoulder because, you know, she's argued with me and hasn't given up. That's just not right. And I've laid in bed, and, you know, I'm doing the cold, the silent treatment. That'll fix her. And then God says, husbands, love your wife. You don't want to. Well, there's my opportunity to get a bit of exercise in, to start flexing my spiritual muscle. Or what do? Start whinging and Karen, I don't feel like it. Of course you don't feel like it. What's feeling got to do with it? Now, how many times have we got the word of the Lord come to us and saying, you're going to do this, I want you to do that? And we say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, you don't know the pain that I experienced when I tried to do that. Well, of course, doesn't any kind of physical exercise prove that to you? You get the weights and there's pain involved. Why would anybody in their right mind want to inflict pain upon themselves? But that's what we do, inflict pain. You know, this is heavy, this is hurting, oh, the pain. But you keep doing it because you know that if you keep doing it, your muscle is going to say, well, obviously, it's not going to change, stop doing that. I'm going to beef up. I'm going to make this easier. Till it literally gets to the point where some of those things, you actually start to rejoice for a challenge. I want a challenge. I want to push the boundaries. But it's pain, isn't it? No pain, no gain. Well, spiritually, the same thing happens as well. And every day, we get the opportunity to exercise. Every day. We could just read the word, and because every day we're going to have opportunity to relate to someone, and whatever that relationship might be, those in authority over us, where God says, pray for those in authority, obey those in authority, respect and honour those in authority, and we say, well, how can I honour and respect that person? Look at what they're doing. Look at the so-and-so they are. No, you honour the person in authority. It doesn't mean you do what they're telling you to do if it's wrong, according to the word, but you respectfully, just like Daniel, And with his three comrades, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, if anybody had a right to call him a mongrel king, they did. You know, they slaughtered people, did incredible things. It was trying to get them to bow down to an idol. And instead of mouthing off at him, they said, "Oh, king, yes, you might fry us in the fire, but we're not going to bow down to your idol." But they respected him and honored him as the king. And then God delivered them. So every day we get to exercise. Now, how's your spiritual muscle? Are you getting stronger every day, or are you getting weaker? And so, I can't. You know, every time we give up and say, I can't, we get weaker and weaker. You know, this is what happened to Israel. He was trying to make them strong. He got them out of the house of bondage. And think about this. So they were prisoners for 400 years. So they developed a mentality that was their problem. The mentality was, we're victims, we're prisoners, we can't do anything for ourselves, everybody else has to do it. So he gets them out of the house of bondage, and then he starts to train them. It's interesting. He says, if you read the scripture, it says, I'm not going to take them straight into the promised land because they're not ready for war yet. Interesting. Ephesians chapter 6 is, be strong because we wrestle against principalities and powers. Well, he takes them out and he says, I'm not going to take them straight to the promised land because they're not ready for war yet. I'll take them through the wilderness. I'll take them through my training camp. I'll allow them to hunger. I'll allow them to thirst. I'll allow them to exercise their what? Their faith, their trust in me. I'll allow them to exercise that faith that they will obey my word and trust me no matter what. And then they will see my provision. Do you know what happened to them? It said they refused to obey him. And instead, they lusted after things, easy things. You know, easy things. There's no pain involved. Get it now. Our whole world's, you know, society's banked on that. You know, get it now. Why wait? Why save up for anything? Get it right now. Praise God, I had a dad who he wouldn't get a loan for anything, would he? But praise God for that. Yeah, you know, we had to save up for everything we got, and then you can get it. And so that was a real blessing to have that. Have that in my life anyway. But Israel couldn't do it. They couldn't exercise their strength. Instead, they said, no, this is too hard. I want it now. I want instant gratification. I want instant satisfaction. I want instant relief. You know, I'm not going to hang in there. I'm not going to fight for this. And you know what the Bible says? It's tragedy. It says God gave them their request, okay, because they weren't asking it. He gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their soul, in other words, weakness. It's just like somebody has an exercise. Won't push. No, I'm not going to push the weights. Well, the problem is, if you're not going to push the weights, you're not going to have the strength to do what you're going to be called to do. John the Baptist was ready for his manifestation day. Are you ready for your manifestation day? That could come at your workplace. You know, what about his Bible's full of it. Esther, Queen Esther, her manifestation day. You think about Esther, here she is, a beautiful young girl, and the king at that time has got a wife, Vashti, who didn't come when she was called. And so the king got angry and asked his advisors and says, you know, what do we do? And his advisors said to the king, look, everybody in the province is going to hear about it. You know what's going to happen? All the wives are going to disrespect their husband when they hear about what Queen Vashti has done to you. Uh-huh. That's why the Bible says, wives, honor your husbands. Honor your husbands. Why do you do it? Well, because God told you to. That's why. That's a good enough reason. Anyway, so she gets put out of being queen, and they search the whole land for all the beautiful virgins, and they bring them to the king, and for a whole year they've got to prepare themselves for one night with the king. And whoever pleases the king gets chosen as the next queen. And Esther was the girl that pleased the king the most, and she became queen. And it came to the point where she, as a Jewish lady, had the opportunity to deliver all of her people, because they were put in a position by another wicked person who wanted to kill them all, made a law that they're all going to be wiped out on this certain day. And Esther was charged that she had to go to the king and plead for her people. Only problem was, there was a law that if anybody, queen included, went to the king without being invited, there was one law, instant death. That's pretty tough times, hey? So Esther tells her uncle Mordecai, this is what's going to happen if I do that. And she starts saying, this is too tough for me. But all her life has been training. She obeyed her uncle Mordecai in everything she said. When she became, when she went into the queen, she obeyed her the guy who had the charge of the harem. Everything he told her to do, she did. She was in training. Her training was obedience. She could have said, oh, Mordecai is only my uncle. Why should I obey him? Because he's a harem keeper. Why should I obey him? But she obeyed, and everyone she was in, she found grace in their eyes because she was obedient. Maybe she was used. Maybe, you know, she was taken advantage of because she would be the one to do it. You know, you ask her and she always do it. Ask others, they might do it. She was obedient. She learned obedience until it got to that point where she had a choice to be obedient even unto death, and that was to go before the king and plead, because there was only one exception for a person being put to death who came to the king without being asked, and that was if the king held out the golden scepter. And Esther fasted for 3 days, put on all her garments, beautiful garments, prepared herself, and marched straight up to the king into the throne room, where it was instant death if he didn't hand out the golden scepter. The king saw her and he held out the golden scepter. Now, you know, here's a king who had been put off by a woman that didn't honor him. So what did he see in Esther that caused him to delight in her? Obedience and honouring. And he held out the golden sceptre to her and he said, Queen Esther, what is your request? Up to half of the kingdom it will be given to you. And boy, don't you hear an echo of that in the church? That we are called to come boldly right before the very throne of grace. And we know that there is a golden scepter held out to us. We already know it's held out to us. It's already extended. And not half the kingdom, but it's the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And it's for this time that we've been called. We're to bring the kingdom of God to bear in this community, in this church, in this community. What is the kingdom of God? It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy. It's love, it's in the Holy Spirit. As people can literally taste of it and see that he is good. We bring it in our workplaces. We bring it in our homes. Every home has an atmosphere. What's the atmosphere of your home? I tell you what, it will be tense if a husband doesn't love his wife and a wife doesn't respect her husband. We can all say, well, you don't know the wife that I've got, or you don't know the husband that I've got. Well, you don't know the God that we've got. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. The only thing that he's looking for is us to be strong and to obey his word. He's a miracle working God. I've just seen the time. Can I apologize right now? I didn't realize what the time was. Can I just read this as I close? The place is G.K. Chesterton made this comment. It's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and left untried. Doesn't that say a lot? It's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and left untried. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It will work. Whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation is, the Word of God will work in it if you will obey it. Because God calls us to be strong and courageous and do all that he's asking us to do. Not to bring all the excuses as to why we can't do it, why it's impossible, because God does the impossible. Do you believe that? With God, nothing is impossible. We are believers. It's his word that has come to us and created faith in us that with God, nothing is impossible. Can we stand up, please?
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.